No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware,
health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
Fort Collins Radiator Shop reminds listeners the effects of child abuse are devastating. For those who survived, the pain inflicted upon them as children will often influence their entire lives. If you or someone you know needs help, contact your local authorities immediately. This message from Fort Collins Radiator Shop, 417 Jefferson Street in Fort Collins. For all your radiator repair needs, they have 47 years of experience, family owned and operated. Call 970-482-6783. That's 970-482-6783.
Well, good morning. Dr. Stan here, and our guest this morning, Andrew Skousen, filling in for his dad, who probably will be back. Will your dad be back next week, Andrew, or will it be the week after that?
Yes, my dad should be back next week, Dr. Stan.
You think he'll be doing the program next week, or in the Friday program?
Yes, I think so.
Andrew's going to be with us this morning and going over the latest World Affairs brief. And this is vitally important as far as Syria is concerned, and because nothing going on in the Middle East and the Near East, as we're being told, everything is a lie, certainly. But I'm going to let Andrew go ahead and tell you what this is going on, but I think his dad is absolutely right. Everything between Israel and Syria and the recent attack, certainly what the rebels are doing, because we finance, we control the rebels, and we're looking for an excuse to send American troops into Syria. But we can't let the American people understand that any more than we can let them know that we were behind the revolution in Egypt and in Tunisia and in Libya and in Turkey some years ago, and in Lebanon, and we're just simply converting that whole area into a seething cauldron of Muslim extremism in preparation for the coming war, because you can't have a war unless you got an enemy, and now we've created the enemy. But, Andrew, you pick up the story of what's going on over there in Syria.
Certainly, Dr. Stan. Actually, we'll get to Syria and Iran here a little bit later in what we want to talk about first is a more important story in our mind, which has to do with the current controversy around the drone memo. So the top story in the brief this week is drone memo, Obama as judge, jury, and executioner. Even as NBC broke the story of the Obama administration's memo laying out justification for killing Americans with drone strikes, the most NBC's Aaron McClam could say about it is, a new Justice Department memo on Americans and drone strikes is causing controversy. That's a serious understatement. What we are witnessing is a written policy memo that is without any constitutional authority whatsoever, and which makes changes so fundamental to our protected rights and the traditional doctrine of separation of powers that Congress ought to be up in arms and threatening impeachment. Instead, we hear talk of concern but no outrage from our elected officials. From the NBC article, quote, legal experts expressed grave reservations Tuesday about an Obama administration memo concluding that the United States can order the killing of American citizens believed to be affiliated with Al-Qaeda, with one saying the White House was acting as judge, jury, and executioner. The experts said that the memo, first obtained by NBC News, threatened constitutional rights and dangerously expanded the definition of national self-defense and of what constitutes an imminent attack. Anyone should be concerned when the president and his lawyers make up their own interpretation of the law or their own rules, said Mary Ellen O'Connell, a law professor at the University of Notre Dame and an authority on international law and the use of force. This is a very, very dangerous thing that the president has done, she added. Joe comments, I doubt if we'll see any concrete rebuttal by establishment scholars, just quote-unquote concern. Continuing with the NBC article. The memo, made public Monday, provides detail about the administration's controversial expansion of drone strikes against Al-Qaeda suspects abroad, including those aimed at American citizens. Among them were Anwar al-Awlaki and Samir Khan, who were killed by an American strike in September 2011 in Yemen. Both men were U.S. citizens who had not been charged with a crime. Attorney General Eric Holder, in a talk at Northwestern University Law School in March, endorsed the constitutionality of targeted killings of Americans, provided that the government determines such an individual poses, quote, an imminent threat of violent attack, end quote.
Now, basically, these were certainly two Americans who were killed. They were killed because they were felt to be associated with Al-Qaeda, but they'd never been indicted. No court had ever heard any evidence against them. There were no charges against them. The government just decided to kill them because they felt they were affiliated with Al-Qaeda. Well, we have no evidence other than what the government says they have. They say they have sufficient evidence to kill them. So this was an American citizen. This was not Pakistani or Arab citizen. This was an American citizen, and they killed him. If they can kill him over there, could they kill him here in the United States? Go right ahead.
That's right, Dr. Stan. It was nowhere near a battlefield, and yet Holder cited nothing in the language of the Constitution to justify this massive grant of arbitrary power, including anything remotely near to his quote-unquote imminent threat language. Of course, the courts have long inferred imminent threat as a basis for prior restraint in law, such as the arrest of drunk drivers prior to actually causing an accident. And yet, even in those cases, due process takes over after the arrest, and the arrest must be justified in great detail before arriving at a conviction. In no case has anyone been given power to take life, except to protect their own life or property from a clear, direct attack. And even those defensive actions must be proven after the fact with due process under the law. Therein lies a major difference in what the government is claiming, that there exists some ethereal threat to the nation they can never define, but some presumed association with the mythical ever-morphing Al-Qaeda boogeyman that justifies an instant death sentence without trial. This is a very dangerous concept, since it attempts to give legal justification to the most arbitrary edicts of tyranny. In fact, when Piers Morgan arrogantly challenged assault weapon defenders to cite, "Where is the tyranny in government?" demand citizens arm themselves with semi-automatic rifles, here is the answer staring us in the face. To act as a deterrent to just this type of government arrogating to itself arbitrary and deadly authority. Back to the NBC story, quote, the memo refers to a broader definition of imminence and specifically says the government is not required to have clear evidence that a specific attack on U.S. persons and interests will take place in the immediate future. Glenn Greenwald, a constitutional lawyer who writes about security and liberty for the British newspaper The Guardian, described the memo as, quote, fundamentally misleading, end quote, with a clinical tone that disguises, quote, the radical and dangerous power it purports to authorize. If you believe the president has the power to order U.S. citizens executed far from any battlefield with no charges or trial, then it's truly hard to conceive of any asserted power you would find objectionable, end quote, he wrote. The Attorney General told reporters Tuesday that the administration's primary concern is to keep Americans safe.
So hold that thought, Andrew. Hold the thought. We'll be back in just a moment.
And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. This is Pastor Michael Golden. My wife, Danny, and I would like to invite you to join us at the Voice of Many Waters Congregation for a Mikra HaKodesh, a holy convocation, every Saturday, Shabbat, at 1 p.m. at 3J's Christian Coffee House, 21 North Parish Avenue in Johnstown. We'll be having praise and worship, fellowship, midrash teaching and study time, followed by an oneg. Check out our website at www.voiceofmanywaters.org. That's voiceofmanywaters.org. Or call us at 1-303-522-3562. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at the Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of the Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's the Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city. And be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Well, Dr. And here, American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Andrew Skousen, and he's certainly talking about the fact that President Obama has taken it unto himself to say that he has the power to have Americans killed without certainly any indictment, without charges filed against them, simply because they believe that they're involved with terrorists. And it was not certainly only this gentleman in Yemen, this American citizen, but 2 weeks later they killed his son and a friend who were traveling looking for the father. And why do you want to kill a 16 or 17-year-old boy? Is that to strike terror in the hearts of people? Is that to let the American people know that a president can kill your children if he doesn't like you for any reason at all? And maybe you oppose what's the position of our government. But this is a dangerous president. Certainly, experts on law throughout the country are up in arms. But you're not going to hear our ministers speaking out against this. You're not going to hear our political leaders speaking out against it. We don't hear anybody in Congress or the Senate, or at least not very many, calling for the impeachment of a president who's taken unto himself the right to have American citizens killed without even being indicted. Go right ahead, Andrew.
That's right, Dr. Smith. Well, the Attorney General, Eric Holder, told reporters Tuesday that the administration's primary concern is to keep Americans safe. Joel comments, "This is always the excuse, Holder, and to do it in a way consistent with American values." He said the administration was confident it was following federal and international law. Joel says, "If he can make this kind of bald-faced lie, he can claim anything as right. This kind of power has virtually no precedent. Federal or international law, unless you look to Nazi or Soviet law." Beginning with the NBC article, you have to understand what we are talking about, how to conduct our offensive operations against a clear and present danger, said Eric Holder. Joel says, clear and present? Hardly. Virtually every case of terror in America involving a Muslim extremist, except perhaps the botched propane bottle bomb in New York, have involved government agent provocateurs goading young malcontents, providing them with the bomb materials and know-how. Nothing would have happened, including 9/11, without government black operations, direction, and execution. Continuing with the NBC quote, White House Press Secretary Jay Carney said that while the government must take the Constitution into account, Joel says lip service only, U.S. citizenship does not make a leader of an enemy force immune from being targeted. Joel says, for instant death. Joel says further, I object. None of those targeted were ever proven to be a leader of an enemy force. Here's a definitive and brilliant response to the Obama memos by constitutional attorneys Herb Titus and William J. Olson, published in The American Thinker. Quote, the white paper does not seek to delimit the federal power to kill citizens, but simply sets out a category of targeted killing of American citizens off the battlefield on foreign soil, which it deems to be clearly authorized. Moreover, this power is not vested exclusively in the President or even the Secretary of Defense or even officials within the Department of Defense. Rather, it can be relied on by other senior officials of unspecified rank elsewhere in government. Joel comments, that's partly because the President, always a puppet, doesn't get involved in such decisions. Mimicking a judicial panel, the white paper employs pragmatic tests developed by the courts to supplant the plain meaning of the Fifth Amendment due process and Fourth Amendment search and seizure text. The Justice Department lawyers have produced a document worthy of the King Counsel's Court of Star Chamber, including that the U.S. Constitution would not require the government to provide notice of charges or a right to be heard before using lethal force on a U.S. citizen suspected of terrorist activity against the country. How very convenient. The Obama administration lawyers appear to have forgotten that the Star Chamber was abolished by the English Parliament in 1641 in order to restore the rule of law adjudicated by an independent judiciary, terminating the rule of men administered by the king's courtiers. Also conspicuously missing from the Justice Department's constitutional analysis is any recognition that the founders already balanced the life, liberty, and property interests of an American citizen suspected of, quote, levying war against the United States or in adhering to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort, end quote, and providing them the specific procedural protections in Article 3 of the Constitution. When a U.S. citizen is suspected of treason, the constitutional remedy is not to invent new crimes subject to the summary execution at the pleasure of the President and his attorneys. In Federalist No. 43, James Madison proclaimed that the Treason Clause would protect citizens, quote, from newfangled and artificial treason by inserting a constitutional definition of the crime, fixing the proof necessary for conviction of it, end quote. To that end, the Constitution does not permit the Obama lawyers to invent an elastically defined offense, of, quote, an imminent threat of violent attack against the United States, end quote, in substitution for the constitutionally concrete definition of, quote, levying war against the United States or in adhering to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort, end quote. Moreover, Article 3, Section 3 of the Constitution requires trial in, quote, unquote, open court, proof by, quote, the testimony of two witnesses, quote, not in some secret, quote, war room, end quote, in an undisclosed location. Section 2 requires, quote, trial by jury, end quote, on a charge of treason, not trial by some unidentified high-level official of the U.S. government, no matter how well informed he may be. In short, the Constitution provides that an American citizen must be tried and punished according to the judicial process provided for the crime of treason, not according to some newfangled and artificial executive process fashioned by a nameless collection of lawyers, end quote. Washington Post reports that the Obama administration memo on executive power to kill is merely part of a white paper on drone activity and doesn't really reveal any of the actual memos circulating in the White House on this sensitive issue. Now that this policy is being heavily criticized, scrutinized, the White House is promising Congress a, quote, secret memorandum on the subject, Joel comments, in a classified briefing. From the Post, quote, the parallels to the Bush administration torture memos are chilling, said Vincent Warren, executive director of the Center for Constitutional Rights. Warren accused Obama of hypocrisy for ordering George W. Bush administration memos to be released publicly while maintaining secrecy around his own. To deliver on his promises of transparency, Warren said, Obama, quote, must release his own legal memos and not just a Cliff Notes version. White House Press Secretary Jay Carney emphasizes the white paper is unclassified and indicated that the administration does not intend to release a classified legal memo on which it is based. Joel says, so much for the promised transparency in government by Obama. End quote. But these classified memos or briefings are only prepared to patronize Congress with disinformation, says Joel. The false facts and conclusions fed to Congress in these classified briefings can never be scrutinized or talked about because all involved are sworn to secrecy. The sole purpose of a secret memorandum to a congressional committee is to cower it into silence and goad them into assuring their peers that now they are convinced, but we can't tell you what. This is exactly what happened when the administration showed Senator Scott Brown and other Senate colleagues photographic evidence of the bin Laden death at the hands of SEAL Team 6, which later turned out to be falsified. Brown and other senators were outraged that they had been deceived in a classified briefing, and yet this happens all the time. Looking at the bigger picture, the Post reports, quote, the number of attacks on Americans is minuscule compared to the broader toll of the drone campaign, which has killed more than 3,000 militants and civilians, hundreds of strikes in Pakistan, Yemen, and Somalia. Joel comments, more like 90% are civilians, not militants, according to Pakistani sources. End quote. A detailed discussion of drone strikes in this Justice Department memo are important subjects for Congress to bring up during the nomination review of John Brennan, the White House counterterrorism advisor and architect of the drone campaign, who is slated to lead the CIA. Defenders of Brennan are now claiming he had nothing to do with the drone program, but few are buying those assertions. The Washington Post summarizes Brennan's background and why he is so controversial. Quote, Brennan, 57, has presided over a major expansion of the drone campaign, although he is also credited with imposing more rigorous internal reviews on the selection of targets, Joel says, official propaganda by the Post. He spent 25 years at the CIA and was considered a likely candidate for the top job in Obama's first term, Joel said. The establishment was pushing his nomination back then. He withdrew, Joel says. Massive opposition forced him to, but I predicted he'd be back. The powers that be keep pushing their most important evil guys until they get in. Continuing with the quote, amid mounting opposition from civil liberties groups that called attention to his role as a senior CIA executive when the agency began using interrogation techniques, including waterboarding, that were subsequently denounced as akin to torture, end quote. This is why Brennan has been banned from high public office for so long. His rap sheet for secret and illegal black operations is a mile long and highly protected from public view. Don't expect it to surface in these hearings, however. Rather than express outrage over the drone memo, senators merely asked for more convincing arguments from the NBC story. Quote, Senators Ron Wyden, an Oregon Democrat, and 10 other senators wrote to President Barack Obama on Monday asking him to release all Justice Department memos on the subject. The senator said that Congress and the public need a full understanding of how the White House views its authority so they can decide, quote, whether the president's power to deliberately kill American citizens is subject to appropriate limitations and safeguards, end quote. This is a weak response, begging the administration for token language that will assuage their concerns. You can bet the administration can supply any number of, quote unquote, safeguards they will claim are in place. But in fact, there will be no one who objects to this policy in any position of power to either scrutinize or stop any of these killings. The secret bodies of men who will make these decisions will remain secret, and they will all be yes men to government. The NBC quote continues, Jamil Jaffer, deputy legal director of the American Civil Liberties Union, described the memo as reckless. He wrote that assuming that the target of a strike is an al-Qaeda leader without court oversight was like assuming a defendant is guilty and then asking whether a trial would be useful. Joel says, it's much worse than that. No one is asking the courts to review anything. They are saying they have the power to kill with or without even any later justification. Continuing with the NBC quote, but John O. McGinnis, a professor of constitutional law at Northwestern University who worked for the White House's Office of Legal Counsel during the Reagan and H.W. Bush administration, said he was persuaded by the arguments in the memo, which he described as, quote, very cautious. Joel says, their only caution was in how they presented their weasel words. He said, if this is someone who has taken up affiliation with an organization attacking the United States, I don't think it matters whether they're a citizen. They seem to be an enemy combatant whom the president can respond to, he said. I think this is not a hard case, end quote. Joel says, let me show you, Professor, why this is a hard case. Has the government ever defined what it means by affiliation? A donation to a Muslim charity, perhaps? A brief meeting with someone the government claims is linked to Al-Qaeda, as happened before in a prosecution? he seemed pretty unclear compared to your claim that all this gives the president clear authority to, quote-unquote, respond, especially when that response is a deadly drone strike. This is the kind of petty Republican the liberal media pulls out of their quiver of experts when they want to appear to be presenting both sides. Continuing with the quote, Senator Dianne Feinstein of California, a Democrat and chair of the Senate Intelligence Committee, appeared to defend the killing of al-Awlaki. She said that al-Awlaki was external operations leader of al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula and directed the failed attempt to blow up an airliner on Christmas Day 2009. Joel says, all of this is without a shred of evidence except the CIA's word, and that only came after protests erupted over al-Awlaki's death. The memo lays out a three-part test for making targeted killings of Americans lawful. The suspect must be deemed an imminent threat, capturing the target must not be feasible, and the strike must be conducted according to law of war principles, quote-unquote. End quote. Joel says, notice that no evidence has to be presented for the first and most important test, only that the government make a determination. That's as worthless as all the hundreds of other determinations Congress has requested of the president. An egregious example is the quote-unquote determination by our government that the Soviet Union was in compliance with disarmament treaties before we transferred sensitive military technology to them. They never were, but that didn't stop the government from declaring it, though.
Hold that thought. Hold the thought. We'll be back in a moment with Andrew Scousen.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
The name is Patriot Trading Group, and the website is allamericangold.com. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President of the Patriot Trading Group, and we handle American gold for the American people because that's who we are, and that's who we care about. So if you want your portfolio to help you get the job done, or if you want your IRA to be safe from Wall Street and the paper markets and your kids' future to be protected, then call us, the Patriot Trading Group, at 800-951-0592. You'll be glad you did.
Great Plains Power has been providing reliable electrical power systems in the Rocky Mountain area since 1992. Our systems rely on the sun to help make you self-reliant for your power needs. Solar energy can be scaled to fit any situation, from complete power independence to backup power for the short term. Our expertise focuses on standalone power, but we have extensive experience with utility interactive systems as well. Custom-tailored capabilities as modest as emergency lighting all the way to commercial-scale power. Great Plains Power is a full-service company. We service everything we sell. We provide and design turnkey packages, custom-designed system, and parts for do-it-yourself. With more than 20 years of specialized experience at your disposal, let us know what your power concerns or goals are. Reach us by phone or the internet. Call 303-239-9963. That's 303-239-9963. Or go to greatplainssolar.com.
If you own a firearm, it's important to have proper training. Or if you're considering purchasing a firearm for self-defense, it's important to know the right person to train with. Josh at D&M TAC is a federally licensed firearms dealer, certified NRA instructor with a great firearms training course. Want more confidence with the operation of your firearm or to increase your precision and advance your level of training? This is the place. The hands-on in-depth classroom curriculum includes 4 hours of extensive range practice and basic firearms training, malfunction training, self-defense mindset, concealment training, and more, all at the greatest value in the gun training industry. If you want to learn proper firearm skills the right way, the first time, and want to surpass your current skill level, Josh at D&M TAC has the firearms training course for you. This course also qualifies you to apply for concealed carry permit and for advanced training. Beginner or advanced, tactical or defense, call 720-323-2534. That's 720-323-2534 and ask Josh about your KHNC listener discount.
Article 4, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this morning is Andrew Skousen, and we're covering the World Affairs Brief. Now, Andrew, before we go on, I'd like you to tell our listeners how they can subscribe to your dad's publication, World Affairs Brief, and then how they can get your dad's books on the strategic relocation, on the secure home, and on how to build a secure room in your home. I want to get that information out. Andrew, are you there? Andrew Skousen?
Yes, Dr. Stan.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
Yes,
right.
Go ahead.
The best way is for people to log on to our website, worldaffairsbrief.com, and that's all one word with an S on affairs, worldaffairsbrief.com. And there they can see the news stories that we review each week, and also log in or sign up for the World Affairs Brief there. People can also get a one-time copy of the World Affairs Brief by sending an email to editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. And there's a link on worldaffairsbrief.com to our website, joelskousen.com, which lists all of the books that Joel has written. And they can also get those through you, Dr. Stan.
The books, yes, they can, by calling us at 1-888-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, and the book on strategic relocation or building a secure home or a secure room in your home, they're among our best sellers. So you go right ahead, Andrew.
Great, Dr. Stan. Well, we're working on the drone memo controversy that is going on right now. And we are describing that the evidence presented for the three tests that are supposedly protecting Americans from these unlawful killings are the following. Three-part tests for making target killings of Americans lawful. The suspect must be deemed an imminent threat. Capturing the target must not be feasible. And the strike must be conducted according to, quote-unquote, law of war principles. Notice that no evidence has to be presented for the first and most important test, only that the government make a determination. As for the second test, evidence that capturing the target is not feasible, that is equally a squirrely pig. With all the special forces and black operations the CIA has going on in Yemen, Joel says, I find it hard to believe that they could not have captured al-Awlaki's 16-year-old son, who was killed in a non-hostile environment. He could easily have been captured and brought to trial, but the government had little evidence against him and so chose to kill him instead to evade a trial. In the end, the government wanted these killings done so that they could have a fait accompli upon which to base these memos and the new doctrine they are trying to foist upon us for approval. We end with Naureen Shah, who lectures at Columbia Law School, who summarized the effect of these memos well. She said, well, we should be concerned when the White House is acting as judge, jury, and executioner. And there's no one outside of the White House who has real oversight over that process. What's put forward here is there's no rule for the courts, no role for the courts, not even after the fact, end quote. Indeed. Well, Dr. Stan, I promised to talk a little bit about what is going on in the Middle East. Let's just get an update there.
Right ahead, because it's so vitally important. People understand that almost everything we're being told about the war in Syria, the recent Israeli strike on supposedly a convoy carrying anti-aircraft missiles to supposedly the Hezbollah, most of this is not true. The administration is looking for an excuse to go to war. They want to commit American troops in this military battle. Right ahead.
That's right. Well, Often, Joe says, I will delay covering a story, waiting for crucial information to emerge. That is the case with the story of the sabotage and explosion of Iran's Fordo nuclear facility. The WorldNetDaily.com had some unique sources that shed light on what happened. They said, quote, the explosions at Iran's Fordo nuclear facility January 21st killed at least 40 people, including two North Koreans. At the time of the explosions, the source said, 203 Iranian scientists and technicians, along with 16 North Koreans, had been logged in at the site, although the initial report listed 240 people. The day before the explosions, the North Koreans had brought in new equipment, described by the source as touchscreen monitors the size of TVs that were installed in the monitoring room and some new parts that were installed in the centrifuges before the start of the enrichment process. The explosions were reported exclusively by WorldNet Daily about the trapped workers, including 16 North Koreans, 14 technicians, and two military attachés. The source said many of these centrifuges had been destroyed and rescuers have still not accessed the reserves of the 20% stock of enriched uranium to assess the level of radiation, end quote. Joe says the importance of this story is twofold. One, that North Korea is integrally involved in transferring technology to Iran, and therefore we can assume that Iran specifically needs their help because they are working toward developing nuclear weapons, just as North Korea is doing. Perhaps that is one of the reasons why the media is not giving any play to this story, to avoid highlighting the obvious hypocrisy with regard to U.S. leniency toward North Korea compared to Iran. If the U.S. attacks Iran over nuclear weapons, it should attack North Korea just as vigorously because North Korea is even further along and a direct threat to U.S. troops in South Korea. The second part, though, is that the infiltration of explosives was surely an Israeli operation, and demonstrates that Israel is still the very best at dirty tricks in the Middle East. But the crippling of the Iranian enrichment facility also sets back the Iranian nuclear plan for a long time, and thus denies Prime Minister Netanyahu the urgency he is demanding in attacking Iran. Perhaps that is another reason why the Israeli media does not elaborate on the extensive damage. Certainly Israel does not want the rationale for the attack to go away. Israel and the other globalist plotters in the West aren't just trying to destroy Iran's nuclear structure. They really want Iran's substantial military capabilities decapitated and China's access to gas and oil in Iran cut off. Only a joint Israel-U.S. air war accomplishes that, and it is still coming. Solving the threat by sabotage would neutralize the reason for a larger attack. Joel says, I can only conclude that the attack on the Fordo facility was to encourage Iran to retaliate, and not to solve the Iranian nuclear threat. Business Insider reinforced that view when it observed, quote, Benjamin Netanyahu said that Israel was simply not strong enough to force a halt to Iran's nuclear enrichment program. In order to halt the program, Bibi said, the U.S. would have to strike, and they must do so this year, end quote. The globalists are desperate to move along with their Middle East agenda to take down both Syria and Iran. This week, Israel finally admitted that it was responsible for the air incursion attack.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
What? Good, clean, delicious water that's alkaline high pH that I can make in my own home? And I don't have to carry in all those heavy bottles or taste the water. You're kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding you. With a Kangen water machine at your fingertips, you and your family can have clean, delicious, ionized, alkaline, high pH Kangen water. And so much more. Change your water, change your life. Call Rebecca Starnes at 720-209-9017. Again, 720-209-9017.
Square Root Construction is pleased to help support the American Freedom Network by offering a high-quality custom deck construction services. Established in 1990, Square Root Construction has been building high-quality decks and other types of outdoor living projects all along the Northern Front Range. We are licensed, insured, and have all the experience, knowledge, and skills to help you create the outdoor living oasis of your dreams. For your free consultation and no-obligation quote, give Doug a call at 303-517-8742 or visit us on the web at squareroofconstruction.com.
Passover is coming on Saturday, March the 23rd, and you're invited to celebrate Yeshua's Passover with the Beth Messiah congregation. Again, Passover is March 23rd at 6 p.m. at the Ramada Plaza Hotel. Call 1-800-205-6245 for reservations. Deadline is March the 8th. Main entrees are lamb and turkey. Adults are $35. Children 10 to 12 are $15. Children 6 to 9 are $13. Children 5 and under are free. Call today 1-800-205-6245 for your Passover reservations.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this morning, Andrew Skousen, filling in for his dad, Joel Skousen. Andrew, you pick up the story.
Certainly. The globalists are desperate to move along with the Middle East agenda to take down both Syria and Iran. This week, Israel finally admitted that it was responsible for the air incursion and attack, claiming they were targeting a truck convoy carrying anti-aircraft weapons bound to the militant group Hezbollah in neighboring Lebanon. As usual, they were lying. Here's the real story. Jason Ditz wrote this week, the U.S. greenlit Israeli attacks on Syria and approved future strikes. The White House not only gave the green light to Israel's Wednesday attacks on Syria, but they also offered a blanket approval for future strikes. The Wednesday attacks targeted several different sites in Syria, and the Syrian government has shown footage of the aftermath of an attack on a military research facility, one which experts claim was regularly visited by Russian military personnel. This from the Jason Ditz quote. The reports on the quote-unquote weapons convoy heading to Syria have also been revised, with the latest report saying the Syrian vehicles with weapons on board were actually parked at a military base in Zabadani, not actually on the road headed to Lebanon. Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta has become the first administration official to go on record about the attack, saying the U.S. quote, fully backed, end quote, Israel in attacking Syria, adding that the U.S. was concerned about possible transfers of anti-aircraft weapons because they might be used against, quote, civilian aircraft, end quote. Joel says another lie. It is worth noting that the U.S.-backed rebels in Syria have openly talked about attacking civilian planes, but the regime has shown no interest in doing so. Joel says, of course, they know the U.S. would love to have that as an excuse to get NATO to intervene. Continue with the Jason Ditz quote. Reports also suggest that in addition to Israeli attacks on Syria, the U.S. is interested in launching attacks of its own, and it is planning to attack targets around the northern city of Aleppo if the rebels get too close to chemical weapons depots. Joel says, in fact, the rebels are heading in that direction specifically to give the U.S. an excuse to intervene. Continuing with the Ditz quote, which might not suit Turkey too well, who is cheerfully backing the rebels in Syria's civil war, but blasted Israel for attacking them and went on to condemn Syria for not retaliating, with Foreign Minister Ahmet Davutoglu mocking Assad, Joel says, goading him to retaliate, for failing to, quote, even throw a pebble when Israeli jets were flying over his palace, end quote. The common media position is that Israel has publicly warned that it would take military action to prevent the Syrian regime's chemical weapons falling into the hands of Hezbollah in Lebanon, or global jihadists fighting inside Syria. Israeli military intelligence is said to be monitoring the area around the clock via satellite for possible convoys carrying weapons, according to the UK Guardian. Joel says, but the hypocrisy of the Israeli and U.S. position in Syria is summed up best by this commentator at landdestroyer.blogspot.com. Quote, in reality, these global jihadists are in fact armed and funded by the U.S., Saudi Arabia, and Israel since at least as early as 2007. They are also, in fact, the direct beneficiaries of Israel's recent aggression. The Israeli suspicions of weapons transfers, of course, remain unconfirmed, because the purpose of the attack was not to prevent the transfer of chemical weapons to Hezbollah in Lebanon, but to provide a wider conflict aimed not at Israel's defense, but at salvaging the West's floundering proxy terrorist forces inside Syria attempting to subvert and overthrow the Syrian nation. Joel says, I'm embarrassed to be an American when I see all these deceitful tactics being used to justify globalist intervention in other nations that present no threat to us. Sure, these aren't good people, but the world is full of problems. Would that our government was actually trying to solve something instead of provoking more wars and conflict, replacing tyrants with jihadists. Well, that's not the only thing that the government is doing wrong here. The next story here, the brief, is about the ongoing efforts to boost gun control. As the gun control agenda moves into high gear, mostly in the media, the White House Dirty Tricks game came up with a new propaganda stunt to make it look like the president is an avid hunter and aficionado of shotguns by taking pictures of Obama at a Camp David range shooting skeet. Obama immediately got panned for the stunt, as one experienced skeet shooter wrote, quote, I know a thing or two about skeet shooting. In this sport, you have beginner shooters who don't really know what they are doing, and you have amateurs that are regular shooters who take it seriously, and you have guys and gals that shoot 25 out of 25 again and again. The following is a picture of a person who has not shot skeet before, showing a widely published picture of Obama shooting a shotgun from the news. This person does not know how to hold the gun properly. This person is going to get a big recoil in the arm that will hurt. No one has bothered to show this person how to hold a gun. This person has not been taught how to position the body to make a successful shot. This person has no chance of hitting a moving target. This person is not wearing the proper clothing for a skeet range, which includes padded vest that has pockets for 25 shells. This person is pretending to shoot skeet, end quote. Yes, Obama is the pretend president in a lot of ways, but that does not stop the powers that be from planning his and his family's day around lots of propaganda stunts and photo shoots. The media is really putting on the pressure to disallow future gun sales in private. NRA CEO Wayne LaPierre warned on Fox News that, quote, closing the federal loophole that allows Americans to buy guns in private transactions without having gone through a background check would be a slippery slope, and suggested that President Obama and his administration would insist on taking a step further with a so-called universal background check, LaPierre said on Fox News Sunday. I think what they'll do is they'll turn this universal check on the law-abiding into a universal registry on law-abiding people.
And what they want is to know who has the weapons so they can come around and collect them. That's what they did in Katrina down there in New Orleans with the flood a few years ago. They had a list of the people who had guns, and they had their troops go door-to-door collecting the guns away from the people, to leave them hopeless, because there were mobs down there, there was looting. People were able to defend their homes if they had a weapon, and they took those weapons away. And ladies and gentlemen, there are people who want to disarm the American people. This has nothing to do with Sandy Hook. It has nothing to do with the children who were killed. Barack Obama doesn't weep for the children, innocent children killed by his drones in Yemen and Pakistan. Hundreds of children have been killed. He doesn't weep for the thousands of children that the American finance rebels in Syria have killed. Over 60,000 people have been killed. Thousands of them were children. But you don't see Barack Obama weeping for them. It's just because he wants to take your weapons. Bye-bye, Andrew. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
All right, thank you.
And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. This is Pastor Michael Golden. My wife Danny and I would like to invite you to join us at the Voice of Many Waters Congregation for a Mikra HaKodesh, a holy convocation, every Saturday, Shabbat, at 1 p.m. at 3J's Christian Coffee House, 21 North Parish Avenue in Johnstown. We'll be having praise and worship, fellowship, midrash teaching and study time, followed by an oneg. Check out our website at www.voiceofmanywaters.org. That's voiceofmanywaters.org. Or call us at 1-303-522-3562. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at the Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of the Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by the Green Herb located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's the Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city, and be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
And here at the Pilgrim Freedom Network. And anyway, hopefully Joel will be back next week. Appreciate Andrew filling in for him. But the truth of the matter is that Israel does not control, the Zionists don't control Washington, D.C. We control Israel. Certainly Netanyahu is simply a puppet for the establishment here in America. Netanyahu was a member of the CFR. He's not today. Netanyahu was a furniture salesman when he was picked by the elite to lead Israel. He does what he's told to do. This whole situation as far as Syria is concerned, the attack there, I think is simply a justification down the line for American troops to be involved in overthrowing Syria. Certainly we want to get into a war with Iran. We want to turn that whole area over to the radical Muslim Brotherhood in preparation for the coming war. And if you don't know the details of the coming war, just read Ezekiel 38 and 39. It's all there, including the names of all the countries that are going to be aligned against Israel. The only trouble is when you read Ezekiel 38 and 39, there's no mention of America. Is America just, did God not know America was going to be here? No, I think God knew exactly what was going to be happening. And they always intended that America would be used by the dark and sinister spirits of forces to bring about the world government. And that's why we are moving our troops into 35 nations in Africa. 35 nations in Africa. Why are we moving our troops into 35 nations in Africa? Oh, we want to bring democracy. We want to bring freedom. Ladies and gentlemen, we're installing dictators throughout the world. We installed the dictators in communist China. We installed Fidel Castro in Cuba. And if you doubt that, you need to get my talk. It's a DVD. It's called The World Revolution, where you'll hear me interviewing the American ambassadors to Cuba at the time. We installed Fidel Castro, and we've kept him in power. And David Rockefeller's daughters go down to visit Fidel, and Fidel comes up to visit David Rockefeller, who is the most powerful single man in America, the permanent chairman of this Council on Foreign Relations, the permanent chairman, honorary chairman of the Trilateral Commission. But don't take my word. You can order memoirs by David Rockefeller from Radio Liberty. You can order David Rockefeller's memoirs, or you can certainly get my talk on the world revolution and so much more. My telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. If you haven't read my book on the Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. Hopefully, you're in a position to get a case of the books. We're well over a third of the way towards getting the book reprinted. But if you get a case of the books, that's certainly a very inexpensive price. You can give the books away. You can certainly loan them. You can certainly sell them. Do whatever you want to, but get people to read and to understand of the dark spiritual forces that control our government today and are moving the world towards a one-world government, a one-world financial system, and the destruction of Christianity. And America's official policy is to destroy Christianity. That's why they took God, prayer, and the Ten Commandments out of our schools. That's why we toppled the government in Afghanistan and Iraq and put in new governments under Sharia law, where the Christians have been driven out, and the Christians have been driven out of Egypt and of Libya and of Syria, of Tunisia, and many of them are going to Syria. And now, of course, we're turning Syria over to the radicals, and the Christians will be driven out there. And one day, of course, the power of the Brotherhood of Darkness will be moved against the Christians in America. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com, where you can listen to us 24 hours a day. Pray for America. Pray for revival. But please pray for Radio Liberty until Monday. May the Lord be with you.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com.
And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, The feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings." Leviticus chapter 23, verse 1 through 3.